At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard outdoor protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Cole, are you familiar with the phrase glutton for punishment?
Yes.
You're doing it to yourself. You realize that, right? You walk in here on a Thursday, opening day for NFL in the regular season, Cowboys, Eagles, 8:20 tonight, and you wear that stupid thing around your neck.
You like that?
I bet that's not a real chain, is it?
Are you kidding me? Real? I mean, this is plastic and foam as it
gets. I thought you were going to say platinum.
No, it's plastic and foam, and there's no telling how much I paid for it. But no, I mean, it's game day, baby. Are you not fired up? I mean, I am ready.
It's a good day to be an Eagles fan. It's a bad day to be a Cowboys fan.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Welcome into the show. He's Cole Bryson. My name is Diesel. It's Wire to Wire. 20 of you Tolos already watching on the stream, and the jingle hasn't even finished playing yet. The intro isn't even done. Jump on the stream if you haven't. 844-FAN-PHONE is how you could text in. But Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube is where our show is live. JB already giving you heck for it. He says, what is that?
Everybody wants to hate, man. Everybody wants to hate. But look, the hate, bring it on. I'm fired up. I haven't been this excited in a long time. I love it.
You can't be serious.
I love it.
Come on, man. Let's start the show from a place of honesty.
I am.
I think our Tolos deserve to have our show not start with lies.
No, this is, again, going back to what you opened the show with. You would think we would have learned, but we haven't. I'm fired up. Dallas Cowboy football is back. And if you think I'm braggadocious today, wait till tomorrow. When they win, and I come in here, wait. Okay. You hadn't seen anything yet. I'm telling you.
Is Jarrah still paying you to rep the Cowboys?
No, but I'm telling you, they're going to win tonight.
Is this one of those subterfuge campaigns?
No.
Like we supposedly had a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of American agents were arrested in Scandinavia for trying to get things going. They're
going to win. Have you ever heard of Super Bowl hangover? Have you ever heard of it? It's happening tonight,
no,
baby.
No, I've never heard of that.
It's happening.
It's been months, Cole. There's no hangover anymore after months.
Shock the world happening tonight. Let's see. It's 3 o'clock, 4, 5, 6, 5 hours from right now. The shock of the world will happen on your TV screen.
Where's our Eagles fans at? Call in 844-326-3663. Put Cole
scared.
Bryson in his place as we are getting the show underway on today, the first day of NFL football. It's a great time to be alive. High school football is here. College football is here. And the NFL is back tonight. Cole, a big show lined up for you today. We have coming up in the very next segment, Chapel Fowler in the States segment. Chapel Fowler, of course, of the state newspaper. We've got an interview coming up at, 4:45 with our high school player of the week, Eastside quarterback Peyton Schrader. He had himself a huge game. And then, of course, Clay Hendricks at 6:20, the head football coach of the Furman Paladins. But a lot of big stars left their teams this offseason. Cole, it happens every single year. The question is, which one of these teams are going to miss their stars the most? Their ex, their boo thing that is now with somebody else. Who's going to miss them the most here in week one of the season or just overall in 2025? Text in 844-326-3663. And, of course, get your upset picks to us if you haven't yet. We are taking those throughout the show today. But, Cole, you can't start talking about stars who are going to be missed by their teams without starting with Micah Parsons, the ex-Dallas Cowboy who's now a Green Bay Packer. Pretty good football player.
Yeah.
Pretty good football player. First-round guy, 12th pick overall from Penn State. Three-time first-team All-Pro. Three-time Pro Bowl selection. Consistent top-three finisher in the Defensive Player of the Year voting. Losing a guy like Micah Parsons, and I know you've already bought into the Kool-Aid and you're already reciting the things that Jarrah is telling you to recite, but this is going to hurt this defense, right?
Right? Right? Like, it, you would think, right? Diesel, the interesting thing about this segment, about the question that you asked, and you said it, you led with it. You said, the biggest is Micah Parsons, the blockbuster trade that happened a week ago. Uh-huh. We talked about it. And, yeah, you would think when you talk about the other guys that aren't on their former team, you would think, keyword think, that, guess what? Micah Parsons is going to be greatly missed in Dallas. Look, will he be missed, Diesel? I 110% think he will be missed. However, what you also have to realize is that Micah Parsons, when you talk about interior defensive linemen, Micah Parsons did not help the Dallas Cowboys stop the run, period. He's a great edge guy. Sacks, you just brought up his sack numbers. He's phenomenal. He puts pressure on the quarterback, and Diesel, those are very hard to come by in the NFL. Very, very hard. However, Dallas's defense has been, the problem has been stopping the run. So to answer your question, you said that's the biggest. They'll miss him the most. I believe parts of the defense will miss him the most, but I also believe there will be parts of the defense that will not miss Micah Parsons. I don't think the run game is going to be, oh, we're missing Micah Parsons. Now, when you talk about putting pressure on a quarterback, specifically Jalen Hurts tonight, yes, Diesel, in that area, affecting a quarterback in that area, I do think Dallas will miss Micah.
Look, you got Sam Williams and Dante Fowler, two guys whose names I've literally never heard before this moment right now. Sam Williams, 6'4", 261. He's coming out of Ole Miss, drafted in the second round a couple of years ago. And then on the right side, Dante Fowler Jr., coming out of Florida, he had 10.5 sacks last year, 25 solo tackles. Not numbers to sneeze at. 10.5 sacks, really good year.
Good year.
He's a good defensive end as well. Problem is, and it's true for most of the guys on this list that we're going to talk about throughout the rest of this segment, most of these teams didn't get players for the guys that they traded away. They got future draft picks. And the other guys on this list, just to give you a little sneak peek, we got Micah Debo, who's left the 49ers. Geno Smith, no longer a Seahawk. DK Metcalf, no longer a Seahawk either. And then, hey, for a little local flair, we'll throw Adam Thielen in there as well for the Carolina Panthers. But Micah Parsons, he's going to be missed. You know, having a guy that creates havoc for this team, a 13-plus sack kind of guy for this team, and not getting a player to replace him, not getting a quality defensive lineman, not getting a quality linebacker that can stuff the run, that's going to be tough to replace this season. And, you know, I'm not talking about what happens next year or the year after when they're able to draft guys to replace him. This year, that's going to be tough to lose 13 sacks.
It's going to be tough. I don't know who will replace or try to replace that sack production, because ultimately, Diesel, I think when you talk about Micah Parsons and what Dallas will miss, they will miss, in my mind, the sack production more than anything else. Mm-hmm. That's where they're going to miss Micah Parsons, putting pressure on the quarterback. Now, because I watch every game and every play, I will tell you this, for as good as Micah Parsons was and is, there are times and were times, Diesel, where Micah Parsons disappeared. It happened a lot during big games. I think teams started running at him. I really do. Mm. And sometimes he would just disappear a little bit. So I'm with you. I think they'll miss him. JB on the YouTube stream asked, what is y'all's Super Bowl prediction? We did that yesterday, JB, on the show. I had Bills defeating the Eagles. And Diesel had,
oh God, if I'm putting I think I had the Ravens.
You did, defeating the, maybe the Eagles. No?
I don't recall.
You did have the Ravens winning it all.
I did have the Ravens in the Super Bowl, yeah. So MD75, he gets his pick in UConn over Syracuse. Okay, so comparing the loss of Micah Parsons to, if you are a San Francisco 49ers fan, the loss of Deebo Samuel, 29-year-old guy, Pro Bowler twice, first team All-Pro in 2021, really versatile guy, 2,200 yards, 21 touchdowns over the last three seasons combined. It's going to be tough to get along without a Deebo Samuel, but then again, he's been unhappy for a while, so maybe his numbers aren't all they could have been.
So he was unhappy, there's no doubt, but we talked about San Francisco a little bit yesterday, Diesel. I look at this team now, and boy, this is so fascinating. Think about this. There are now serious question marks surrounding this football team and their position groups. You're talking about a football team, Diesel, that 2, 3, 4 years ago, year after year after year, was consistently the best roster in the National Football League. And now, just a few years later, look, they've still got dudes. They've still got Trent Williams on the offensive line and Nick Bosa.
Ricky Pearsall, yeah, but, and Juwan Jennings out there.
But to answer your question, though, at the wide receiver room, I mean, are we really trusting Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings and Sky Moore and Brandon Ayuk? And by the way, Brandon Ayuk's now a third string. Are we trusting that these guys are going to replace the production that Deebo Samuel's brought? Diesel, I don't know if it'll be as big as what Micah brought to the Cowboys, but I do think ultimately it's a big move and they'll miss him.
Who's going to miss their star the most? Get into the conversation, 844-326-3663. Sports Talk on the Fan Upstate is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Now the Seahawks, Cole, they ship not one but two stars out the door. They let go of Geno Smith, who, by the way, pretty good quarterback for the Seahawks. He played in 17 games last year. He completed 70% of his passes for 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns. But he was an interception machine for the Seahawks last year. It's going to be tough to replace Geno Smith, especially when you're doing it with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I do. So you go back to the 2021-2022 season, or maybe it was 22-23, Diesel. Geno Smith was an underrated quarterback in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a 4,000-plus yard season in 22, 35-plus in 23, last year 4,500 plus. So three seasons where his numbers were there. You mentioned the interceptions, not good, 15 interceptions. 2023, he had a really good year for the Seahawks. Look, Geno Smith's been playing in the National Football League since 2013. I like Geno Smith. I like him a lot. And in fact, I said during that run, 22 and 23, that he was maybe the most underrated quarterback in the NFL at the time. However, my concern is, Diesel, is that what you saw from Geno Smith at his age in 2022 and in 2023 might be his ceiling. Now in a new place, a new destination, a new team, a new offense that to be honest with you, really doesn't blow my socks off. I don't know. I think we've seen Geno Smith's ceiling. I don't know if the Seahawks will be able to replace production with Sam Darnold or not, but I'm not so confident moving forward with Geno because of what he can do that I'm all of a sudden thinking the Seahawks are going to miss him a whole lot.
His replacement, Sam Darnold, last year with the Vikings had, by a long shot, the best season of his career. He played in all 17
season.
Games, 35 touchdowns to just 12 interceptions. So, look, I mean, 35 is a lot more than 21. And Geno played all season last year and didn't put up the same numbers that Sam Darnold did.
Hey, I'll tell you this. We talked about it last year. Sam Darnold had one of the better regular seasons than anybody in NFL. I mean, he was really, really good. Now, he wasn't really, really good in the postseason. He absolutely just fell off down the stretch. But what Sam Darnold did last year in the regular season shouldn't be just thrown to the curb. He was really, really good. They've got Drew Lock and Jalen Milroe also in the quarterback room. So, obviously, Sam Darnold's the one. My only problem is, you look, and again, not to take this conversation to a different place, I don't love the weapons that they have. Jackson Smith is good. I just don't know that ultimately he's going to have a ton of weapons around him like he did in Minnesota.
And last one here for your consideration, also exiting stage left for the Seattle Seahawks, DK Metcalf, wide receiver, 27 years old, 19 touchdowns over the past 3 years, 3,000-yard guy, averages 15 yards a catch. The Steelers gave up a second-round pick to go and get him. That's a huge loss. That's a huge loss, a guy that can get you 15 yards a catch.
Yeah, you know, it is. And I think, Diesel, it'll be really interesting to see what he does in 2025. DK Metcalf, he is getting older, but DK Metcalf still regarded and looked at as one of the better, more reliable. I'm not going to say he's like an elite receiver, top two, top three, top four elite receivers, but guess what? He's up there. He's up there in the top 10 consistently. You talked about his numbers there. I like DK Metcalf and have for a long time. He's consistently going to be in the conversation, stays healthy. We'll see if he stays healthy as he gets older, but no, I'm with you there.
And last one here, Cole, for you. I did say DK was the last one, but it's worth mentioning just to keep it local here. Adam Thielen exiting from Carolina, heading back to Minnesota. Last year in Carolina, didn't put up a ton of production, 600 yards, compared to the 1,000 yards he had in 2023. Obviously allows you to bring in Hunter Renfro. I think Bryce is going to miss Adam for the couple of games. But once he settles in with Hunter Renfro, I think it's business as usual. I don't think they're going to miss Adam Thielen all that much over the course of the season.
I hope so. But my only concern is Hunter Renfro just going to be as reliable and steady Eddie as Adam Thielen was? I know Adam Thielen wasn't a game-breaker kind of guy that, you know, all of a sudden could go win a game. I'm with you. I think Bryce Young will miss Adam Thielen. Ooh. And look, is Adam Thielen, is he getting older? Is he probably going to retire after this? Yeah, probably so. Hunter Renfro, he's really good. But I will tell you, Diesel, there's also, in my opinion, my standpoint, I do have a little bit of concern with Hunter Renfro. Coming off of an injury, number one, does he stay healthy? How reliable is he? Your best ability is availability. And I like Hunter Renfro a lot, and maybe I'm at the point in the stage where I'm kind of asking Hunter Renfro to prove me wrong in 2025. I just know what proven commodity Adam Thielen was for Bryce Young. Diesel, I don't know what proven commodity Hunter Renfro is going to be yet.
Texter says, does Cole have Jerry's hand up his you-know-what like a puppet? If Parsons disappears during the run, why didn't they get another edge guy instead of a nose tackle to plug the middle? Jerry's an idiot, and he got his feelings hurt by Micah, period. So says Joey.
Joey, do you understand defensive linemen and assignments, Joey? That they got a nose tackle because they couldn't stop the run. That's what interior defensive linemen do, is stuff the run. Edge guys don't stuff the run. Edge guys get after the quarterback. Dallas got rid of Micah Parsons, an edge guy, and got Kenny Clark as a defensive tackle so they can stop the run. So, I mean, I don't know. Is Kenny Clark Micah Parsons? No, I'm not going to go that far. But they did a little bit address a need. So I don't know that I can agree with you there.
Cole has already gotten to stage five of the stages of grief, which is acceptance, Joey. So you need to catch up a little bit.
Please do.
So final verdict here. Micah, Debo, Geno, or DK? Who's going to be missed the most by their teams?
Good one. Good question. You know, here's where I am with Dallas, and we'll talk about the matchup tonight a little bit later in the show in the 5 o'clock hour, but I don't think Dallas is going to be great this year, Diesel with or without Parsons. Mm-hmm. They're going to miss him in areas, I really do think. But I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to miss Debo Samuel. I think Brock Purdy's going to miss Debo Samuel. He was a Swiss Army knife, man. Like, running game, passing game. That guy was just so sensational. He's one of the best receivers in football. I think Brock Purdy's going to miss him more than anybody else is going to miss their star.
I'm going to go the Seattle Seahawks. Now that they have a proper quarterback,
okay,
assuming Sam Darnold can replicate in Seattle what he did in Minnesota last year.
Yeah.
If he still had DK Metcalf on this team, DK wouldn't be a 1,000-yard guy. He'd be a 1,500-yard guy. And he would have a ton of touchdowns. I'm going to say that the Seattle Seahawks probably wish they could get DK Metcalf back and pair him with Sam Darnold. Words that I never thought would ever come out of my mouth 3 or 4 years ago when Sam Darnold was a Carolina Panther.
Let's talk a little Clemson football. It's the state segment every Thursday at 3:22. This week, we're joined by Chapel Fowler of the state newspaper. That's next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Well, let's talk a little Clemson football now that you Clemson fans, now that Chapel Fowler's had a few days to sleep on what he saw Saturday night in Death Valley. And we'll also talk about what's to come for this Clemson football team. Chapel, as always, we appreciate you hopping on, man. You've heard from a lot of people this week, including Dabo Swinney, quarterback Cade Klubnik, Sammy Brown, and others. Your biggest takeaway from what you've heard during the week after the loss to LSU?
Yeah, appreciate you having me, guys. I think we're hearing a lot of the same stuff we heard last year after the opener versus Georgia, which is in as many words that Clemson, despite a loss to an SEC team, saw some good stuff and think there's, you know, good stuff on tape and they match up well and there's some things that are, you know, that indicate a good season is ahead. I tend to believe it a little more off this game than the last game. I think just given the score, I mean, they lost by 31 last year. It was 7 this year. So I think there is like some legitimacy to that argument, especially with the defense. I think you saw on Saturday, you know, here's what a new defensive coordinator, here's what, you know, elevated coaching, new life can do to a unit. I thought Tom Allen and that defense played really well. I thought he put guys in good positions. You know, they gave up a few too many explosives, but for the most part, 17 points against that offense is a good showing. You know, that's good enough to win. I think Clemson was something like 121-3 when it allowed 24 fewer points to an opponent or something like that. It's a good low point total. On the other side, the offense has a lot of work to do, and I think that's one where it's more wait and see. But I think their sense of stuff and what they've been telling us is that they feel confident going forward. I see mostly legitimacy in that argument, but I think especially with the offense, there's some big question marks in the big game specifically that still need to get solved.
Chapel, we talked about it yesterday, just how dynamic a shift it is to hear Dabo actually publicly criticize Cade Klubnik, calling the missed reads day one stuff. Now, we know that Dabo is loyal possibly to a fault and that Cade is his guy. Do you believe that it's message received with Cade Klubnik, and how have they really tried to drill in these last couple of days of practice those simple reads? This is the read, throw it to the read.
So different in terms of Dabo's public framing of stuff. I was sitting there like stunned, and I think it even started with the radio show on Monday night. You know, it's not uncommon, I'd say, to hear Dabo post-game on a Saturday or on the Sunday teleconference the day after kind of diagnose, you know, here's a play that went wrong and here's why and here's what we should have done. By the time we get to Monday, that's usually been flushed and it's on to the next week. But there he is on his radio show, unprompted, talking about that last fourth down that Clemson didn't convert that ended the game. And he's saying, you know, we missed Tyler Brown for a touchdown there because Cade decided to scramble and I don't know why he scrambled. He said the same stuff on Tuesday about Cade in a few specific plays a few times. Talked about that with Bryant Wesco, the receiver, dropping a ball. Talked about Colin Sadler, their left guard, you know, missing a block and preventing what could have been a really big gain on a quarterback draw. So more of that from him yesterday than honestly I can remember from covering them. And I think what that tells me is that, first of all, you know, there's a sense of urgency with this team that he feels. You know, they went all in. They brought back everybody this year. This is a really good shot to do something special and still can be if they shore up these mistakes that came up on a pretty big stage on Saturday. So I think he's pushing guys, but at the same time, I think he's also like legitimately frustrated and he feels like everybody needs to be better and he's not going to sugarcoat it. So Troy is not a world beater by any means, but that the simple stuff, if you execute it against Troy and at least get halfway, 75% of the way there before Georgia Tech, you know, I guess that's the best they can do right now because there's stuff that needs to get fixed, that's for sure.
Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, joining us right here on The Fan Upstate. You mentioned in the very first answer, Chapel, just how this team knows what they did right, knows what they do wrong, and maybe has some optimism about what this season still could be. What optimism do they have when it comes to, and you talked about the offense, but specifically the running game and the offensive line? If I'm playing devil's advocate, what did they see in the game in your mind that does give them optimism that atrocious performance by the running back room can all of a sudden be better?
It's very much a double-edged sword because I think Clemson's answer to that would be that in their minds on film review, it was less things that LSU was doing that caught them off guard or overwhelmed them and more just poor execution on their part. But that's not like a very unique answer. And I've heard that from Clemson a few times. I think any school could say that. That's one where I think when we were talking about the passing game, receivers, Cade, I think I saw a lot of missed opportunity, even from my like non-football whiz vantage point. I mean, anybody could see Cade drops a dot to Wesco and he can't hold on, or can see, you know, here's Dan Orlovsky breaking down this wide open receiver on third down that Cade didn't hit. I think there was a lot on the table there. Running game wise, I think that's one more where, I need to see it to believe it, in terms of, is that going to be a consistent thing? I need to see Garrett Riley not shy away from the run so quickly. Need to see a veteran offensive line kind of step it up. You know, I think there's seven guys in that unit that have starting experience, and you would not have known that on Saturday. So that stuff is more, I guess you lean on the fact that the offensive line group is veteran and that they do have a well-paid and pretty successful play caller and some options at running back. But I think probably if I'm thinking about offensive question marks, I see what Cade and the receivers can be this year. I think the offensive line and running back room, and just in terms of season-long performance, have a bit more to work on to kind of gain back that confidence that they had heading into the season, because it's kind of iffy right now.
Chapel, I know Clemson hosted a lot of recruits in that game on Saturday. How did they review the experience? Even though it was a loss for the Clemson Tigers, still a great football game, still a packed house. The atmosphere was incredible. How are they responding to what they saw?
Yeah, I think I've seen over the years that like single game results maybe don't sway kids as much as I think they would at times, or the general public does. You know, their 2026 class is really strong right now. I think the key at this point is holding on to those guys, because they were in the same spot last year and kind of lost. I think it was six guys from August to December to other schools, and a lot of them are doing good things right now. I just saw Grayson Littleton, who was a corner they had in the last class, was like the highest graded freshman corner in college football last week for Texas or something like that. So it's getting those dudes and holding on to them. But I think the guys that are committed to them are locked in with them. And again, I think their rev sharing strategy is probably helping with that a little bit than it has in past years. But you know, that was a good atmosphere. That was probably, I mean, I wasn't around in 2016 when Lamar and Louisville came, but I got the sense that it was right up there in terms of the best one maybe since then, or on par. Death Valley had not had a game of that stature. You know, their last top 10 opponent was NC State in 2022. That doesn't really cut it, right, in terms of like epic proportions. So the scene was big time. I think the crowd showed up and did a great job, and that was very much a grand stage for college football. So I think recruits got a sense of that, even if the result went the other direction.
Chap, well, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you felt like Dabo maybe was just frustrated. When you hear him on the radio show that he does and throughout the press conferences during the week, you know, talk about different things, you might sense some frustration there. Do you believe that Dabo Swinney understands, I guess from a big picture standpoint, that the fans' frustration, and when he's asked questions about, you know, going 0-4 in his last four against the SEC, that's not directed at him personally? Or do you feel like that when he gets frustrated and makes these fun comments about those comments, maybe it's just his frustration boiling over as well, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that was my post-game question to him. I knew he probably wouldn't like it, but I think it was valid and showed a trend. That,
very valid, by the way.
A lot of people are concerned about, or at least is evident. You know, not only 0-4 in your last four against the SEC, but 3-8 in your last 11, and they have not beat a ranked SEC opponent at time of kickoff in seven tries, not six. 2019 Texas A&M regular season. You think about some of the losses in that span. By no means were some of those like season ending or the type of loss that just ruins everything that Dabo and Clemson have done, but I think, and even he said that last night, like, or on Saturday night, like he maybe didn't agree with the total premise of the question, but he totally acknowledged, hey, the SEC record at this point recently, that is what it is. Like, we have to fix that. And I think the frustration or concern among fans, and maybe just the national perspective on Clemson, and I think it's fair, is like, you know, that there are so many teams that would kill to be in your position, winning 9-10 games a year. That's sure. An amazing floor that Dabo and Clemson deserve all the credit in the world for establishing and keeping up at a consistent level that like only a few guys have ever done in college football history. Yeah. But there's a difference between, you know, tier one tier 1A and tier 1B. And what we've seen in the last few years is Clemson's kind of consistent inability to get from the latter to the former, which they were at for a long time. So I think that's the type of stuff. There's context there. Like, it's not this guy's not falling. But those sort of games like LSU are kind of a microcosm of what I think are some of the bigger struggles that they've had in recent seasons that deserve some scrutiny at times.
Chapel, I'm sort of halfway asking this question facetiously. Have they considered maybe scheduling the bottom half of the SEC where they might have a better chance of getting wins? Instead of always facing top 10 teams, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They it's funny. A lot of these contracts that they're working through right now got signed in somewhere like the 2016 to 2018 range. And, you know, it feels really good to sign off on playing LSU or Georgia, et cetera, when you're winning 2 out of 3 national titles. But Dabo and Clemson, to their credit, like, they've owned it. He said a few times this week, like, I wouldn't change a thing about who we play. I think he and they take a lot of pride in playing games like this against LSU. And, you know, he mentioned a few times this week, I'd rather play a game like that than win 50-3 against whoever. Sure. So obviously they really do take a lot of pride. And I think that's part of their recruiting pitch and just kind of part of what they think their program is like, we will play anybody. And I think they've played two SEC teams every year for like 20 of the past 21 years, 19 of the past 20. And the only exception was when COVID happened and they couldn't play South Carolina because of the SEC conference only schedule. So they go up against like what I would consider the best conference in the country on a consistent basis. But again, the downside of that is now suddenly you've lost 3 openers in a row and 4 of your last 5. And 4 of those 5 have been against SEC teams. So it gets a little tough when you start out doing that.
Chapel, we did this yesterday on the show, kind of a game, an overreaction game, if you will. And I don't know exactly what your preseason predictions were for Clemson going into the 2025 season, but the game was, the question was, did anything you saw this past weekend, specifically Clemson LSU, change your mind on what your original preseason prediction was?
Yeah, I'd be interested. What did y'all real quick? What was
11-1 for both of us?
Okay,
and maybe a game. I think Diesel and I maybe just had them. You know, maybe losing to. I think we still, for the most part, had them 11-1. Maybe losing to South Carolina. Maybe 10-2.
I had them losing to South Carolina before the season even started.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I usually do a game by game predictions right before the season starts. I predicted they would go 10-2.
Okay.
And I had them losing to South Carolina. And then losing, I think they've over the last few years, they really have not been immune to kind of a one bad slip up game.
Yep.
I think of Louisville last year. That's a game that nobody expected them to lose. So I think I had them losing to like SMU in the middle of this season or something, just something kind of unexpected. I don't think the LSU loss changes too much in my view. I think I went into the season thinking they were good, but not good enough to beat both of the SEC teams on their schedule.
Yep.
So kind of the way I predicted it was, okay, if they get over the hump via LSU, you know, I think that's probably a South Carolina loss at the end of the year. Maybe you flip it. Maybe the LSU loss, South Carolina win. That's what it turns into. I mean, I think they have the most talented roster in the ACC. They shouldn't have any issue getting to Charlotte, theoretically. I think we've seen over the last few years that no matter how things go in non-conference, they really do run that conference from a historic and consistent level. But at the same time, like, everybody gives you their best shot when you're Clemson. And I think we saw some deficiencies, and there's a lot of ACC teams that are going to be gunning for them a little extra because knowing that you could not only upset a team like that, but kind of knock a title contender almost off that stage permanently. If you're giving them their, I don't know about a second loss, but a third loss or something like that in the regular season, especially at ACC, if you can knock them out of ACC title contention, that's like an extra level. So, and that starts with Georgia Tech, like, next week. There's your first big test of, are you going to be able to hold on and keep things going? So I wouldn't say last night changed too much. I think it just kind of showed what I've been thinking all offseason, which is that this is a good team, but not a bona fide right off the bat title contender. I was kind of surprised to see how much of that existed nationally heading into 25.
Chapel, I'm going to ask you one more sort of big picture question here, because we came to you quite a bit over the summer as this Florida State Clemson ACC lawsuit thing was happening. We've seen the MAC go to Tuesday and Wednesday night games. Conference USA is playing its October games in the middle of the week. as, you know, Clemson, Florida State, and Miami obviously all got the lion's share of ratings this past weekend. You got to assume that's going to continue, so they'll get the lion's share of this uneven revenue distribution. Do you foresee a day where, you know, the bottom end of the ACC has to resort to sort of the same thing, resorting to non-traditional nights of the week, maybe trying to steal some of that attention away from the MAC and Conference USA, just so that they can get some ratings, because otherwise they're probably not going to end up on TV very much.
That's a good point. I've never really thought about that. I think about MACtion Tuesday, like they just own that space, but they really don't. I mean, that could be an ESPN and conference decision that they could make, you know, for next year right now, if they wanted to, probably. I think it's a solid idea. I don't know. Like you said, the ratings this week, I think really showed, no, again, those are really awesome primetime TV spots that any team in was probably going to succeed. But the reason that Clemson and Miami and FSU were in those primetime TV spots is because they're Clemson, Miami, and FSU. So I think that was kind of a reminder of why Clemson and FSU push for this kind of brand percentage cut of money, extra cash coming their way, and how it's going to kind of manifest itself. I could see that. I think playing games on those weird dates like that is always a good thing in moderation. Like, I don't think you should put any team doing that like two or three times a year. But I think, you know, if you approach coaches and ADs kind of with that message of, hey, you know, here's a way to benefit both of us. And I think fans will get up for those sort of games too. Like NC State, ECU on Thursday last week was awesome atmosphere. One of the better games I watched all weekend, honestly, like that stuff like that. And I know that's a non-conference game, so that's kind of special, but I think that's a good idea. Like, I don't think coaches would love it. But if you bake in, I don't know, one for most teams on any given year, like you said, the bottom half of the ACC, and really pitch it as a way for them to, you know, get notoriety and get more viewership and everything, I don't think that's a net negative by any means.
Chapel, as always, man, we appreciate your time, and we do apologize for not asking more X's and O's question about what Troy's going to do Saturday.
33.5-point favorites, man. That's a large spread. I'll say this just for the yeah, bettors. Clemson is 1-9 covering the spread in its last 10 games as a favorite of 33+.
So wow. That's all
your FCS teams and – Louisiana Tech 2 years ago. So,
well, Chapel, I'm an App State fan.
I mean, those spreads
fan.
Are ridiculous.
But. Yeah, I remember what happened last year against App State. You know, I think Clemson just scored again in that one. So I'm pretty sure Troy's in for it on Saturday.
Thanks, man, as always.
Hey, Chapel.
That was a time when they did cover the spread.
Appreciate it.
You heard him right here on the Fan Upstate. Chapel Fowler, the state newspaper, 1-9 when favored by more than 30. That's a great stat from Chapel Fowler, man. I love that.
When we come back, Cole, let's see what else is happening out there in the sports world in a segment we called our Daily Wires.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's an NFL Thursday, Cole, but there's a lot more going on out there in the sports world, and we get to all of it right now in this segment we call Daily Wires. The buzz happening in the sports world, the Atlanta Braves got a win yesterday. 5-1, big win over the Chicago Cubs. Unfortunately, they're not going to be able to snowball that effort because they are off today. Yeah. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
And I don't know that the Braves know much about snowballing wins in 2025 either.
They know a lot about rolling downhill, that's for sure. The NFL is back tonight. We just talked about it. 8:20, Dallas at Philadelphia. Kickoff 8:20. Eagles are now 8.5-point favorites over the Cowboys, which might as well be one of those Clemson-Troy type of lines in the NFL. 8.5, that's big.
It's big, but we'll do my 5:22. I'll give you my thoughts, my prediction. Throw the number out there, whatever number you want. You can have the number. Cowboys win tonight.
All right. And speaking of which, Cowboys fans, it could have been worse. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Philadelphia Eagles themselves made a strong push to trade for Micah Parsons summer.
I would have died.
Philly called Dallas to try to acquire Micah, but the Cowboys had no interest in trading the two-time All-Pro pass rusher within their own division, especially to the rival Eagles.
That gives me anxiety just hearing you say that. Like, my chest just dropped.
Was that close. Jerry would have justified it somehow, though. Ugh. That's for sure. Alabama coach Kalen DeBoer still believes that he has a good football team, even after last week's 31-17 loss at Florida State. The season-opening loss to the Seminoles, who went 2-10 last season, was Alabama's fifth loss in their past 10 games under DeBoer, who was hired in January 2024 to replace Nick Saban. Quote, "My message is that our team is, I think we have a good football team, so that can do some big things still this year." He said, quote, "We've got to prove it. We've got to go do it." Number 21 Alabama will be without defensive lineman Jeremiah Beeman for the rest of the season after he suffered a lower body injury in practice yesterday. Coach DeBoer announced this on his weekly radio show. A pair of Vanderbilt football players are among 10 athletes who are suing the NCAA in an effort to force the association to allow college athletes to compete for 5 seasons rather than 4. Linebacker Langston Patterson and defensive lineman Issa Owatara, filed a class action lawsuit in federal court on Tuesday, which claims the NCAA's eligibility rules violate the antitrust laws. The NCAA's current rules allow athletes to compete for 4 seasons during a 5-year time span that begins when they enroll in college. Yet somehow you got guys that have been in school for like 7-8 years.
This is starting to become more normal of a headline, right?
Slippery slope, man. We'll talk about this a little bit later on in the show. In the first full update on how NIL Go is working, the new College Sports Commission announced that it's cleared more than 8,300 name, image, and likeness deals worth nearly $80 million. The commission said 28,342 student-athletes signed up on its NIL Go platform between its launch date, June 11th, and August 31st. If you do the math here, that puts the average NIL deal just short of $10,000.
Wow.
The NFL's Scott Hansen announced that NFL Red Zone will have commercials this year, but claims that not a single touchdown will be missed. Prior to the season, Red Zone has been commercial-free.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Uh-huh.
I hate that.
Uh-huh. Commercials always win, baby.
Yeah.
The opportunity to sell them will always win. Speaking of selling, FIFA World Cup 2026 ticket information has been released. The first phase of ticket sales will start on September 10th with a pre-sale for Visa cardholders until September 29th. A public sale will run from October 27th through the 31st. Wait, how does that work? You get 19 days for Visa cardholders and everybody else gets 4?
Wow.
That sucks. There's going to be another wave of tickets available after that, starting on December 5th. Prices will start at $60 for group stage tickets and then go up to $6,700 for the grand final, with a dynamic pricing system in place, which means it could always go up. EA Sports has rescinded its offer to license college basketball video games following some schools accepting a proposal from 2K Sports for inclusion in NBA 2K. The decision was communicated by EA Sports VP Sean O'Brien to NCAA licensing directors, and he expressed disappointment at the inability to move forward with a standalone college basketball game featuring all Division I institutions and student athletes. And finally, Cole, yesterday the Hub City Spartanburgers defeated the Rome Braves by a score of 4-2. Reliever Victor Simeon was crucial in saving the game for Hub City, coming in with runners on in the eighth, walking one, and then striking out 3 to end the threat.
All right, we have been on record saying that we do not like preseason polls. Do we like this one better? The first AP poll of the season. We didn't get a chance to get to it in depth yesterday, but we do next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. Mm. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.